This is Martin Zundern. Yes, I am battling the sniffles today, but I'm also battling the apostasy. So when you battle the apostasy day by day, the sniffles don't seem to be too big of a hurdle. We are going to continue on because the sniffles and the apostasy, neither one of these things will stop me from talking to you about the Nicolaitans. Now, here is a strange religious cult named in Revelation chapter 2. Two of the synagogues in Asia Minor are warned about the Nicolaitans. And Bible people are been arguing and guessing for years about who these strange people are. And do you know why they have to guess? And I'll tell you some of the guesses. They're funny, I think. It's because no such people have ever existed in history. Just like the synagogue at Thyatira, one of the seven ecclesias or synagogues mentioned in the book of Revelation, never existed in the past. Now, as we talk about the Nicolaitans, we are going to see that this is further evidence that John went to be in spirit. He went in spirit, not his body, spirit. He was still conscious. He was still breathing on the island of Patmos. But his spirit, just like Paul, spirit, went to the third heaven. John went in spirit to the Lord's day. Not the day of the Lord, the Lord's day. There's an interesting wording there. We're not emphasizing the person, we're emphasizing the day of the Lord. And he is in the future. And he is seeing and speaking with ecclesias in the future that do not exist now. So this throws out the whole scheme that Revelation is historical, or that these seven ecclesias picture seven eras of church history. Here's the stretch people will make to try to figure out where these Nicolaitans come from, Nicolaitans. First, let me read to you the pertinent passages in the unveiling. This is to the messenger in Ephesus, starting with chapter 2. To the messenger of the ecclesia in Ephesus, write this. And he goes on, I'm aware of your acts, you do this, you do that. Not so good, but this one thing they have right, in this verse 7 of chapter 2. I will say this, though. And that is that, verse 6, you are hating the acts of the Nicolaitans, which I also am hating. The acts of the Nicolaitans, who are these people? We scroll through the pages of history. We cannot find them. It's a pretty serious religious cult. Not a good one. Cult. Bad cult. Bad cult. Now we find it again, find these people mentioned again in the warning to the church or the ecclesia at Pergamum. Only this time, they're being reprimanded for indulging these evil Nicolaitans. Thus you also, having those holding the teaching of the Nicolaitans likewise. So he mentions them in conjunction with the teaching of Balaam. Let me back up to verse 14. Still in Unveiling chapter 2. I have a few things against you that you have there, those holding the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a snare before the sons of Israel to be eating idol sacrifices and to commit prostitution. Remember, he tripped them up because he told Balak the secret to destroying, to sidetracking, for the eon, the nation of Israel. Thus also, you also not only hold to the teaching of Balaam, but of the Nicolaitans likewise. Repent then, yet if not, I am coming to you swiftly and shall be battling with them with the blade of my mouth. Battling with who? Those who are holding to this evil teaching of the Nicolaitans. Here's what some people think that is. They see Nicolaitans and they think, well, the root word there must be Nicholas. And there happens to be this guy in verse 5 of Acts 6 whose name is Nicholas. Now, chapter 2 of verse 2, that is, of chapter 6 of the book of Acts. It's not pleasing to us to leave the word of God and to be serving at tables. Now, brethren, pick out seven attested men from among you. Ooh, maybe seven. They saw the seven there. And they said, this must be maybe someone who's a part of the seven ecclesias. Who knows? It's all guesswork. And it pleased them, and by the word spoken before the entire multitude, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They placed their hands on them. These guys are going to wait tables, because Peter, James, and John, they got more important things to do. We need waiters. How about Nicholas? So some people are latching onto this guy and say, well, he must have went bad, and he started a sect called the Nicolaitans. That's a reach. That's a stretch. It's a nice try. It's a nice try, but it's not true. Now, if we're going to adapt the other stretch, clever stretch, that these seven synagogues represent eras of church history, then since Ephesus is the first ecclesia named of the seven ecclesias, then the church starts, according to church history people, with the Ephesian church. And the Nicolaitans play a part here, remember? You don't go with the Nicolaitans. Congratulations. And then, again, they're mentioned in Pergamum. And in this scheme where the seven ecclesias or synagogues represent church history, that would take us to the Reformation. So in other words, sometime between the formation of the ecclesia in Acts and the Reformation, this cult, this sect, should be in the history books. But it's not. Nicolaitans, nowhere to be found. And so we're going to do the smart thing instead of guessing. We're going to look at the meaning of this word in the Greek. I attest to you, I say to you that these people have not yet existed in history, because the book of the unveiling is future. And here is another piece of evidence. We look, we try to find the ecclesia in Thyatira back in the day who John could be writing to. Remember I told you there was no synagogue in Thyatira. So this caused many of the big shots of theology back then to say, well, the whole book of Revelation is shot. We can't believe anything, because how could John be writing to an ecclesia or a synagogue that doesn't exist? Ah, it will exist in the Lord's day when he goes. Same here. The Nicolaitans, can't find these people anywhere. The whole book of Revelation must be bogus. No, maybe your interpretation system is bogus. Maybe you're not seeing the key at the beginning of the door here that John said, I went in spirit into the Lord's day. And from this point on, we're no longer to think of him as on this island in the Aegean Sea. We're supposed to think of him as in the Lord's day. He's writing to seven ecclesias existent then, and these people will exist at that time. The word Nicolaitans, in the Concordant Version, it's a two-part Greek word. The elements, there's two elements here, and this is going to be the key to everything. Conquer people. Those are the elements of the word Nicolaitans. So if we can find out, conquer people, if we can find out who this conqueror is, then we will see who the Nicolaitans are, because they are named after the conqueror. Now, there are many people conquering in the book of the unveiling, but we have a big-time conqueror written about very early in the scroll in chapter 6, verse 2. Let's start with verse 1 of chapter 6. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. And I perceived when the lampkin opens one of the seven seals, and I hear one of the four animals saying, as with the loud voice of thunder, come. And I perceived, and lo, a white horse, and he who was sitting on it has a bow, and to him was given a wreath, and he came forth conquering, and that he should be conquering. This is really a huge indication that we're to pay attention to this. The word conquer is used twice in one sentence. This is the man of lawlessness. This is not the Lord coming. This is the white horse conqueror. That is the one who has been given jurisdiction over the earth to conquer the earth. We're going to see it again in Unveiling 13, verse 7, Revelation 13, 7. And it was given to do battle with the saints and to conquer them. Who was? The wild beast. Who is like the wild beast? Verse 4. Who is able to battle with it? And to it was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. It was given authority to do what it wills for 42 months. And it opens its mouth in blasphemies toward God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those tabernacling in heaven. And it was given to do battle with the saints and to conquer them. Conquering the saints, the white horse, the false leader, the false Messiah, is called a conqueror. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go to 11:7. Unveiling 11:7. And whenever they should be finishing their testimony, that is the two witnesses, the wild beast which is ascending out of the submerged chaos, will be doing battle with them and will be conquering them and killing them. Man, you conquer the two witnesses. These two witnesses, mind you, have been conquering everybody else. Fire has come forth from them, and they've devoured their enemies. And yet the wild beast, the white horse rider, the conqueror who conquers, conquering people, is going to be dealing a death blow to the two witnesses. Therefore, you know, the word Satan, it doesn't necessarily need to be capitalized with an S, because in the Hebrew it means adversary. So it's one of these generic terms, just like Christ is anointed, right? Christ isn't a name, it's a title. Adversary, Satan could be a name, but it's actually a title. It means adversary. So this Nicholas or Nicolaitans, it is what they do. They are the people of the conqueror. They're the conquer people. They have aligned themselves and aligned themselves with the wild beast, the white horse rider. This is why their acts are hated. So they're given this moniker. They're given this nickname. You know, like the believers were styled Christians back in the day. What are we going to call these people? Well, they follow Christ, so I'll call them Christians. What are we going to call these people who ally themselves, who want to be a part of this beast? We're going to call them Nicolaitans, because they're the conquer people. This white horse rider who's conquering, they're with them. And it's hateful. No wonder Jesus, as he is walking among the synagogues in this vision, hates them. And he wants nothing to do with them. So it's almost going to be like, this is the litmus test of the day. Are you with the Antichrist or are you not with the Antichrist? Those who are with them are kind of like the Herodians back in the day. They were like the traitors. Back in Nazi Germany, you had the Nazi sympathizers. I suppose it would be the Tories back in the American Revolution. Those who sided with the enemy, right? Well, those are the Tories. So you get the sympathy in the French resistance. Even in the French, there was the French resistance in World War II. Then there were the sympathizers. And everybody hated the sympathizers, the Herodians. They were like friends of the system, of the people in charge. They loved it. They loved to be where the power players were, where the brokers were. Man, we want to be associated with them. So these Nicolaitans are people who are associated with, of all things, the Antichrist. That's a really, really, really bad idea. And so this is hated. So when the true conqueror comes on his white horse, he's going to do away with all of them. Fire is going to come from his mouth and kill all the followers of the beast. It's like, I have a white horse too. My white horse is better than your white horse. And in these days of the unveiling, I would side with the Lord Jesus Christ on the white horse rather than the man of lawlessness. That's just me.